Good morning.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation, and all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children,
remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Let's stand and sing this morning.
Well, your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Your grace is enough, Lord.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
So remember your people.
Remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
One more time.
Oh, your grace is enough. Heaven reaches out to us. Your grace is enough for me. God, I sing your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me.
You guys can have a seat. We are so glad that you are here this morning. I want to turn your attention to a few announcements real quickly. Tonight is the night for Vacation Bible School, so we want to invite you to come. It starts at 6 o'clock. If you don't have children or your grandchildren or nieces or nephews or neighbors that you can, try to get their kids to come, come anyway and help out, because there's going to be plenty of stuff that we can help everyone do. So that starts tonight at 6 o'clock. Also, you'll see that coming up August 25th, we have a gospel hour. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a time for us to get together. There's going to be a lot of special music, people singing some of your gospel favorites. If you have gospel favorites, if not, you're going to find some new gospel favorites. So come and be a part of that. It's going to be a great time of fellowship and fun. And as always, you're going to see a pad being passed around. We want you to feel comfortable in writing down your information on there, letting us know that you were here so we can lift you up during the week. And again, we're so glad that you're here this morning. We want you to stand. We want you to take just a minute to turn around, shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, let them know that you love them and that God loves them. Amen.
Mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down.
Let's sing that together, church.
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
Over the mountains and the sea,
over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 And oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. But when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. Yeah. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
I could sing of your love forever.
could sing of your love forever.
Have a seat. Thank you.
If I can work the electronics here, I'm not sure I can. We got any kiddos in the group today that want to come down for children's church? I'm going to show you some pictures. Hi, Anne Marie. How are you, dear? Oh, you look so nice. Hi, Larissa. Come on down. How's everyone? Everybody good? My goodness gracious, look at everyone. How are you, dear? What starts tonight, kids?
Vacation Bible School.
Did everybody hear that? Vacation. Van, did you hear that? Are you coming to VBS tonight? I bet I'll see you here, won't I? Vacation Bible School this year. Hi, Madeline. How are you, sweetie? Vacation Bible School this year is about imagine and build with God. Who knows what the first book of the Bible is? What is it, Christian? Genesis. Christian and Madeline and Caleb and all of them are in our third grade third grade Sunday school class and studied the Bible with Mr. Greg this year. Genesis' first chapter tells us what? It tells us about how God created the earth. There's 31 verses in there, and it talks about how God made everything in the earth. He gives us everything that we need. He gave us the air, the water, the earth. He gave us everything. Anybody know what aluminum is? Have you ever heard that word? That's a big word. What is it, Van? You don't remember. I bet Christian knows, don't you? He probably plays baseball with an aluminum bat. Caleb knows that, doesn't he? There we go. I worked for aluminum companies for a long, long time. And you know where aluminum comes from?
No.
Where'd it come from, Elizabeth? It comes from the ground. Have you ever heard of Bauxite, Arkansas? Well, some people have. Bauxite is where there's a bunch of bauxite, a bunch of dirt in the ground that has aluminum. This map shows different places, and you may not be able to see it, but right there is Bauxite, Arkansas. And we used to use big trucks to dig bauxite out of the earth. It looks like dirt, just nasty old dirt. And then we would run it through a plant, and it would turn white, and we would put it in. See those big trucks? Look how big that truck is. My goodness, look how big. And I'm going to show you how big it really is. See this man standing right there? He's not even as big as the tire, is he? That's a big truck. That holds 100 tons of bauxite. That's big, yeah. And then the bauxite goes into a big plant like that, and we turn it from red or brown to white. And then we take it and put it in a plant that looks like that, and it turns from white powder to metal so that we can make baseball bats, and we can make cars, and we can make airplanes out of it. That's one of the things God gave us. I'm going to ask you to do something for me as well. You know when you drink your Cokes and soft drinks and cans? It's made out of aluminum. That's right, Van. What you need to do is take those cans at home and put them in a recycle bin. Because that's conserving what God gave us. We can put it in a bin, and then we can recycle, and it doesn't cost us near as much energy to make new aluminum out of it. Or your plastic bottles. And in that way, we're taking care of the resources that God gave us. So remember tonight, we're going to imagine and build with God useful things, and we're going to have fun. Let's say a prayer real quick. Father God, bless all of these young ones. Keep them safe. Bring them back to us tonight so we can learn about you and have fun. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Good guys. Thank you.
You heard of the mother that lives in the shoe that had so many children she didn't know what to do? What a blessing.
Amen.
You want to see more of those little children? You be sure and come here tonight and witness God's grace going all over the place. Let us go to God in prayer. Most loving Father, how good it is to be together. To be together in this one space and pray to you, knowing that you hear our prayers, knowing that you know our thoughts, which, yes, can be a little scary that you know all of our thoughts. It's good to know that we can come to you with our cares. It's good to know that when we pray for someone who is grieving over the loss of a loved one, who is facing surgery or tests or waiting the news for a diagnosis, or just waiting for that phone to ring saying they got the job, or sitting there concerned, waiting for the phone to ring, that they've lost their job. It is good to know that when we pray these things and have these concerns, that you're there before we are, already working to resolve it, waiting to hear our voice pleading to you to intervene. So God, we thank you. We thank you that you are God, our Father, and we are your children. As we look at these young people coming forward to learn more about Jesus and the care of this world, this creation you've given us, we come in anticipation tonight, Father, that the doors will open and children will come from all over Little Rock and perhaps beyond, visiting grandparents and cousins and aunts and uncles. That these children would come anticipating to be blessed. And Father, it's our prayer that as they come forward this evening and each evening this night, that all the hours of hard work and preparation by the workers and leaders and teachers, that those hours will be planting seeds. All that hard work will help mold those minds and those thoughts toward you, O God, and toward receiving Jesus into their hearts. And as that faith grows and as they grow in years to come, that faith will be rock solid and they will be able to always draw back, perhaps with a memory of a vacation Bible school at a church called Asbury. And Father, as we continue to pray, we thank you for the many blessings. We thank you again for our freedom to worship you. We thank you for each and every person that made the effort to come here and to worship, to be this body of Christ this morning. And we're so excited to see new faces. As you give us new faces each week, how wonderful that is, that they come to Asbury seeking to experience you. And so as we gather today, may we remember, as we repent of our sins and are thankful for our salvation in Christ, that we have a mission then in that grace, and that mission is to experience a difference so that we can go out into the world and make a difference, so that others can know what a difference Christ makes in their life. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." As the ushers prepare to come forward, I ask that you be mindful of the many ministries of this church, of our children, as we welcome them to Vacation Bible School this week, and how your tithes and offerings support those ministries. As we think about our shared ministries, which go beyond the doors of Asbury, as we think about the many ways that Asbury connects to other churches of faith, that we may make the difference in our world. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we are thankful for this opportunity to give. We're thankful that as you taught us how to worship you, that you incorporated the act of giving as a part of that worship. So, Father, we thank you that as we give these gifts to you, that you allow us to keep so much to ourselves, but we offer this portion in confidence that you will use them to grow your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Foes are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, my help is on the way. Oh my God, delay my refuge and strength always. I will not fear, his promise is true. My God will come through always, always. Surrounds me, chaos abounding. My soul will rest in you. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, my help is on the way. Oh my God, he is true. My God will come through. Always, 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 Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from Lord, oh, from you, Lord, from you, Lord. Oh, my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear, His promise is true. My God will come through always.
I want to say once again a thanks to our celebration band and singers. They just bless us every week, do they not? And it's just astounding to me that 50% of those that were up here leading worship have committed themselves to Asbury Church, and yet they're not even members. They've committed themselves to ministry. So I just think that that's fabulous, and I'm just so thankful for each and every one. This morning, I hope that you brought your Bibles, or perhaps we'll look at the screens, and let's look at the Word of God recorded in the New Testament, and it's from the book of 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verses 10 and 11. May the people of God be blessed in this reading and hearing of God's holy Word as we find it in the Word of God from 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verses 10 and 11. According to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we begin this week of Vacation Bible School, focusing upon the children, I stretched out of my comfort zone with you, and I'm going to share with you the gospel according to the three little pigs. And for those who are visiting, understand I do not often preach on fairy tales. But as I looked at this scripture passage and thinking about building, I thought about that foundation of Jesus Christ. And then I immediately went into a prayer because Jesus Christ was a devout Jew and pork was abhorrent to Jews. So I'm hoping God forgives me and that the truth of God will override any Levitic food laws. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. Hit it.
The Three Little Pigs. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs who lived with their mother in a tiny house. One day, Mother Pig said to them, "You're getting too big to live with me anymore. You will need to go out and find homes of your own." So, the three little pigs left home and went out into the world to find homes of their own. "Be careful," their mother called after them.
The big bad wolf lives in the woods, and pigs are his favorite meal. Soon, the first little pig was tired. He was a lazy little pig who didn't like hard work, so he built himself a quick and easy house of straw. It wasn't very strong, but he was soon finished and went off to find his brothers. He found the second little pig just finishing his house. He was a lazy little pig too, and he had built himself a house of sticks. Like the straw house, it wasn't very strong, but at least it was finished, and now he was free to play with his brother. They walked through the woods, trying to find their brother. When they found the third little pig, he was hard at work, building himself a house of bricks. It wasn't easy or quick, but it was very strong. The two lazy little pigs saw their hard-working brother and laughed. The third little pig looked up from his work. "You won't be laughing when the big bad wolf is around. Only bricks are strong and safe," he said.
I tried really hard to talk like that, but I couldn't. The mother woke up one morning and decided it was time for the children to leave. Can you imagine that? Empty nest syndrome? We never experienced it. John 17, 15 through 18 says, "We are to be in the world, but not of the world." Jesus prayed for us as we go into the world. Jesus prays that we will not be affected by the evil in this world. He said, "Be not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify yourselves by the truth, for God's word is truth. As the Father has sent me into the world, I have sent you into the world." That is for us, the children of God. Jesus does not take us out of the world, but instead prays us into the world, sanctifies us, and sends us on our way to fulfill our specific purpose. What is our purpose? To build up God's kingdom, to be involved in God's kingdom work. We are those builders. Matthew 7, 24, 25. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock." When you and I make that decision to give our lives to Jesus Christ, He is telling us He is our foundation to build up our lives from that point that we accept Jesus Christ as Savior forward. That kind of foundation will not enable or allow anything to perish in your life because of that rock solid faith. In this little over a year since I've been here with you, I've been blessed to realize that Asbury is so blessed to have several engineers, persons that work with contractors and constructions within the fellowship of our church, who out of their expertise and goodwill have saved us many dollars, have given us their wisdom and counsel as we go into various projects. Certainly, the warehouse is one example, and certainly the sound booth and the sanctuary that enabled us to carry on both sound and video within that space. Roof repairs seem to be endless at times. So on and on and on, they give us their help, their counsel, and help us so much and assist us. Some of you today may have been a part of a building of a structure yourself on your place, perhaps helping someone else, perhaps maybe even Habitat of Humanity. And that's important to be a part of that, to have that experience of building. Tony and I have had that experience when we built his barn, a.k.a. the tractor's glorified garage, some days his doghouse. I can remember very distinctly shortly after we built our home and we decided where the barn was going to be placed. I remember in the heat of the summer out there digging with him the footings to establish the concrete foundation for that barn. Later on, his brothers helped him finish the completion of the barn. And it really is a much needed place for the various equipment that we have to maintain the property. Structures which are built well can withstand a foot of snow, an occasional tornado, any kind of hailstorm you may have, if they are built well. The decision is very simple that's before us. We're builders of our lives. Every single day, you can look at that particular day and you have opportunities how you're going to construct that day. Sure, you don't have control over if somebody's going to hit you in a car or if the boss is going to come in a grumpy mood or whatever. I mean, we don't have those kinds of controls, but we do, through our faith, have the tools how we're going to construct our responses, how we're going to construct our lives on a day-to-day basis. Are we going to be a part of building our foundation quickly without quality? Or are we going to take that time to build our foundation with complete quality? Being patient, making sure we have the tools available to build that foundation so that no matter what confronts us during the day, our faith will not be blown away. We have a faith which endures any challenges that may come our way. So the question this morning is, how are you building your life? Let's look at that. Let's examine that. How are we building our life? Are we aware through the Spirit of God, those things which are available to us, those resources, those persons available to us that can help us have a more enduring faith? Children of God, let's go back to the pigs. They had a mission. They were sent out by their mother. They packed up their bags and hit the road, went on their merry little way. The first little pig didn't like to work. Didn't like to work at all. So he quickly built his house out of straw. He felt that it would withstand. He built it on soft sand. But he was so proud of himself. He built his house and was in it the same day that he began building. That night, while lying back in his hammock, looking up at the stars, he thought, yeah, I have already built my house. This is great. I am going to live this life of leisure I've always wanted to live. And the analogy is obvious, is it not? First little pig is like a Christian who's not concerned about putting effort into building their faith. Romans 12:11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Again, that first little pig doesn't like to work. But it takes work to build your spiritual life with the Lord. It takes enthusiasm. It takes commitment. It takes zeal and fervor. When was the last time you talked to a Christian that you thought, wow, they're really enthusiastic about being a Christian, about having their faith? When was the last time you think you came across that way? It takes the right kind of attitude. The first pig's attitude was, well, whatever it takes to get by. People like this don't get it. They spend enormous amounts of time and energy into doing their task. And all the time, because they don't have the right attitude about it, because they're just trying to do it minimally to get by, they don't understand that they're going to have to spend even more time and more energy and more work to clean up the mess they left behind because they didn't do it right the first time. I'm a little passionate about that, can you tell? And the sad thing is, often they do not realize, or perhaps their attitude enables them not to care, how many other people have to come to their rescue and help them clean up the mess. It's like the fella who complained to the pastor. People don't normally complain to preachers. But it's like the fellow that complained to the pastor when he went to worship and said, I just don't get it. Every time I come to this worship service, you're always singing Silent Night, Little Town of Bethlehem, and Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Don't y'all know any other hymns? Well, he would have a legitimate complaint if he came to church on a Sunday other than Christmas and Easter. Christmas and Easter. Being a CEO Christian was what he figured was enough to help him get by, to firm up his faith, just enough to get by. I think what it really was just enough to cover his guilt for another year. I believe the moral of the story is, if you're not going to put 100% of yourself into your relationship with Jesus Christ, I think you can expect to reap what you sow. And I'm not sure you have grounds to complain. Doing just enough to get by is all you can expect just to get by. Well, that first little pig strolled down the road the next morning, playing his horn, Rudy Toot Toot, and went to go visit his brother to see how he was doing on his house. And that's the second little thing that first little pig teaches us, is quite often we're all about tooting our own horn. I mean, it's okay to set out on a task, on a mission. We understand this and complete it and feel good about that and celebrate that. That's wonderful. But surely we know to be stuck in that mode of celebration is a mistake. How do we grow if we're stuck anywhere? We just stay stagnant, do we not? He or she is living in spiritual poverty if they're talking themselves up and putting others down. The first little pig is all talk and no substance. You've met people like that who enter into a room and just have this aura about them that they know it all and they're not going to learn anything. When, quite frankly, there's probably others in the room that have far more expertise, far more experience, and far more wisdom. Second Thessalonians 3:11 says, we hear that some among you are idle. Not busy, but busy bodies. That first little pig just needs to get off the road, put the horn away, and get back to the foundation of life. It speaks to us Christians. We need to get back to the foundation of life, Jesus Christ. Second pig took one look at the first pig's house and says, I can do this far better. And he took the sticks. And he built a nice log cabin. And he said, my stick house looks tons better than that thatch or straw house. This little pig tells us Christians something else. We are so hung up on appearances of things. We are far more concerned about appearances than responsibility and obedience, which is going to improve our appearance, by the way. You know what I'm talking about. Someone that just looks like they came off the magazine cover, but there's not a lot of depth there. Not a lot of substance. Well, how can there be? They've spent so much time on the outer, there's not much left to spend on the inner. It doesn't take the little pig much longer to build his house than it takes the first pig. But it looks so much better, and he's so satisfied with himself. He plays a tune on the fiddle. He's a little worried about the storms, but he thinks to himself, that won't really happen to me. No, look how good it looks. It'll be fine. 1 Samuel 16:7 cuts to my heart. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. What greater truth is that? The second pig reminds us of the Christian who knows and understands his responsibilities, but he won't discipline himself to do them. It appears God basically is playing second fiddle, if you will, in his life. The lack of spiritual responsibility will have negative effects on anyone's life. Surely we know discipline, especially as we teach our children. It's so important to discipline them, but it'd be a lot easier just to let them go ahead and do whatever. But I think we know it'll come back to haunt us. We can easily be deceived, believing we don't have the responsibility of studying God's Word. Jesus taught the disciples to learn the Scriptures, to know the Scriptures. He spent hours and hours interpreting the Scriptures, all the parables, all the wonderful stories about God's truth. That's very, very important for us to know. Not just to be like a six-year-old that can spout off a memory verse. What good is that going to do anybody? But to really know the Scriptures, apply them to your life, and then live them. And in living them, you're sharing them in your witness. In Acts, the 17th chapter, the 11th verse, the new Christians, the disciples that developed following the resurrection of Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Find this in Acts 17. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They examined the Scriptures. It's one thing for Sunday after Sunday for Chase or myself to share the Word of God with you, but are you examining how that applies to your life? Are you examining what we're saying? Are you weighing it as to what that can be for you? Another negative effect seen in the second little pig's life is the neglect of his given duties. James 4:17 states, "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." Oh my! Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Remember when the second pig thought he should have girded up the house a little better because of the storms that might come? He said to himself, "Oh, nothing bad will happen. It'll be okay." 1 Corinthians 10:12, "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." I think that second pig reminds us we all have a responsibility to take serious our faith, to build up our life, and to build it well. Jesus died for you and for me. Let me just stop right there. He went through torture, not just this man, but the Son of God, who had no reason to go through it. Body torn in two, flesh ripped apart, pain, agony, beyond description. He died for you and for me. For what? So we could build up our life in His grace. And in His love, and in His strength, and in His presence. So that in that firm foundation, we are braced and prepared to share Jesus with someone else. Jesus died for that. I think we just have to stop and think about it. It's not just something we think about with our eyes closed and try not to think about it at Easter. As Christians, we're called to think and feel it every day. James 4:17, "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it, sin." Colossians 2:6-7, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." This second pig just basically reminds us to stop fiddling around and get serious about our faith. The foundation being Jesus Christ. And that leads me to the third pig. He's quite a serious fellow. He had decided to build his house out of bricks. Strong, durable bricks. How many times have you been along the countryside and seen the only thing standing where a home was the brick chimney. The little pig took a long time building that house. Difficult and tedious. But he was looking forward to the end result. He was looking forward to a life of comfort and peace, knowing that he had done it right and it would last. He worked and he worked, laying those bricks and mortar. Well, along came the other little pigs, you see, to check it out. I think we Christians, like the third pig, need to be diligent, alert, and committed. We shouldn't mind hard work into our relationship with the one who gave us eternal life. 1 Peter 1:13 states, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." The third pig purposed in his heart to build a spiritual house, if you will, that would last as long as he lived. In order to do that, he chose the greatest elements, the most durable elements, that a brick, the Word of God for us, and that of mortar, that which glues, connects it all together in our lives, that of the Holy Spirit. You need to know that every Sunday when I prepare a message, it's not just me preparing it. I always, always pray hard for the Holy Spirit to work in me, to give me something that makes it worth you getting out of bed on a Sunday morning to come here. I take that very seriously. And I ask your forgiveness if I ever disappoint you in that. And boy, did I pray hard this morning when I knew I was coming to talk to you about pigs. He purposed in his heart to build a house as strong as possible. Mortar, that Holy Spirit, that tool God gave us, that Jesus sent to us in the Comforter, that not only guides us, nudges us, pushes us, but teaches us. Have you ever allowed the Holy Spirit to teach you? Not to just prod you, not to help you pray, but to teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you through other persons, through resources, through opening God's Word, and suddenly you're reading something that you thought, I've never read that before. It's the Holy Spirit teaching you. As you get up in the morning and you meditate and you think, okay, Lord, what are we going to do today? It's a new day. That's the Holy Spirit guiding you and teaching you. When you think a thing that you thought, oh, I didn't premeditate that. Where did that come from? Ooty, dooty, dooty, dooty. It came from the Holy Spirit. That mortar, that Holy Spirit. So, to finish the story, the little pigs, as I said earlier, went to the third little pig's house. Can't you see them kind of crossing their arms and looking at it like that? Well, that's not as pretty as mine. Well, boy, it took them longer than it did mine. And they look at it. And it's not quite done. And they say, come on, little brother, my goodness, give it a rest. Take a break. Come with us for just a little while. And he graciously declines and continues to keep working away, building his house. That'll preach. How many times do we try to stay focused on what God wants us to do, only to have someone or something or some issue or some temptation to try to pull us away? Probably daily. Sometimes it comes in the form of fear. Oh, don't mess with that. Things are going so good. Don't mess with that. Better keep doing it this way. Or, oh, watch out now. Yeah, I know it's almost time to quit. And yeah, I'm trying to get to the lake, but I got to get this project done. It's got to be on the desk by Monday morning. On and on and on and on and on. Temptations, fear, all kinds of things get in our way, trying to pull us away from building the foundation. focus on faith. I love Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Everything else will fall into place, basically. Give it to God first, because He gave His first to you. Ecclesiastes 3. Very lyrical, very wonderful. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven. And as you go down to each one of the parallels, there you read it. A time to build up and a time to tear down. 1 Corinthians 3:10. By the grace God has given me, I had a foundation. I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. All I wanted you to do today was just to take a moment and think about how are you building your spiritual house. Are you taking the time that you need to? Are you following distractions? Are you doing it quickly, or are you giving it quality? How are you doing? Will the winds of life, which blow and are assured to blow every day, going to so easily tear down that which you have built? Is the temptation of the big bad wolf going to knock it down with one blow, with one encounter? Is your means of salvation through Jesus Christ, or are you just going to be saved by the hair of your chinny chin chin? It's something to think about. The answer, my friends, is found in the foundation of life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I've preached on a few lighter subjects this summer. Granted, the fable of the fig, and I passed out Fig Newtons. Last week, we talked about apple pie, baseball, hot dogs, and peanut butter. And I gave you Reese's peanut butter cups. I just want you to know, I left the bacon at home today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We invite our celebration singers and band to please come forward at this time. And I'm aware we have several folks that visit us regularly, and I'm so proud that you do. But this is always the time that if any of you are ready to make that commitment to say, I want to be a member of Asbury United Methodist Church, this is your time to do that. We are a family. You're a part of that family. We just invite you to make it official. If there are others who want to profess their love for Jesus Christ for the very first time, now's the time to do that. Or to renew your faith, or as always, to pray. And if you care for me to come and to pray with you, if you'll just raise your hand. So let us be standing as we have our song. Your grace has found me just as I am.
forgiven so that I can forgive. Here I stand, knowing that I'm your desire, sanctified by glory and fire.
Sing it out to him this morning.
Majesty, forever I am changed by your love. Oh, in the presence of your majesty.
And worship with you today. I hope that you'll take an opportunity very quickly to speak to those around you. We have lots of visitors today. What a joy that is. So be sure that you speak to someone before you leave, and please receive the blessing. And now, God, you are all about majesty. You are glory. You are love. You are great. You are here with us. So, Father, may we take your love and your grace with us out into the world and extend it to all we meet with that firm foundation in our hearts of Jesus Christ our Lord, and going forward with the teaching and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. May we be the presence of Christ in this world, this day, and forevermore. Amen.